Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Ma'at Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And this, of course, is a special edition of New Day. It just so happened, and we just talked about this last night on our regular radio program, we just talked about how these kinds of things, meaning the murder of our people, would still be going on, you know, well after the Zimmerman person is arrested and hopefully convicted. But the point and the question still remains, what are we going to do? What will we have in place? And also the question continues to rise in regard to our women and girls. Why there seems to constantly be such minimum coverage, such minimum response when it comes to the murder, the rape, the victimization, and so forth of our sisters. You know, to get almost on a daily basis reports from all over the U.S., it's really becoming more than clear that some steps have got to be taken, and certainly we are gearing up to do that. Next year, for the New Women March 16th year anniversary, is really going to be a powerful kind of event and gathering, because it's really going to be about taking charge and taking some real action. But before we tell you more about that, of course, I always like to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And I'm always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors, because I truly have an understanding and understanding of what it is that was put before us to do. And I'm certainly blessed, you know, even as complicated and as difficult as it really is, it is in its own way a blessing to know the truth, to know that these things are real, that for whatever reason it has to be dealt with. And I'm certainly committed, as others, to continue to deal with it. So with that said, we're going to bring you tonight the tragedy of a sister who we got a report on yesterday. This happened last week. A young sister, 22 years old, was killed, shot in the head. She remained unconscious for a few days before actually making transition. But you didn't hear, I know I didn't hear about it. It's certainly not when it happened. And would not have really heard about it. It just so happened that we have quite a few ears and connections and links and other things that we are involved in. And hopefully Chairman Fred will be able to call in. I did speak with him last night about calling in today to provide us with an update, because he was, in fact, with the family of Sister Rekaya Boyd is the sister's name. He had been with the family last week. And while they did a rally in regard to Brother Trayvon Martin, they also kind of combined some things for the sister. And what I said to Chairman Fred was that, you know, while I'm sure that was, you know, a very correct thing to do, at the same time, I didn't get any information about this sister in any way that represented, you know, the same type of concern or the same type of outrage that went with, you know, other situations. And I have to ask why. I mean, I already know why, but hopefully some other people amongst us will begin to ask why. Why is this continuously happening? Here in Philadelphia, there is a elder, I think she was in her 80s, whose home was broken into. This was a couple of months ago. And she was raped. And supposedly they captured the dude like yesterday or the day before. But I'm saying up until now, and even when it happened, you didn't hear hardly anything about this. And this is what goes on so often when our mothers and daughters and nieces and so forth, when they are raped or molested or murdered or kidnapped. I mean, you hear about it for a quick minute and then it's gone. So I want to know, what is the difference that we can't get the kind of response or action or what have you when it comes to our women and girls? Why is that? I really, really, really would like to know. At any rate, I'm going to play something for you because the police in the media report that was given on this particular situation with the sister, it's nothing like what is really being said by the other person that was shot and, of course, by the sister's family. But this other person that was shot, apparently he was supposedly the actual target. His name is Antonio Cross. And they were somewhere together, meaning Antonio Cross and the sister, Rekia Boyd, were somewhere together. And apparently there were some other people there, too. The bottom line is this cop is saying that he thought the dude had a gun in his hand. Now, this man had his phone up to his ear, talking on the phone, which can be proven by records from the phone company and the person he was talking to. But yet this police officer supposedly thought that he had a weapon in his hand and fired at him. Hit the man in his hand, but hit the sister in the head. She had nothing in her hand. Anyway, I want to play this for you, and I'm really interested in knowing what you think. Of course, I'm also interested in knowing what it is you feel needs to be done, because it's just incredible, and it is unacceptable for this to happen to this 22-year-old girl, sister, young woman. And we just sit back and act like, oh, well, you know, another day in Chi-Town. No, not at all. So take a listen to this. Tell me what you think.
There's another female that say he's a police officer. I said, man, why did you shoot me for? He said, oh, man, I thought you had a weapon. I thought your phone was a weapon. I thought I my phone was a weapon. So I'm on the phone. Why did you shoot me?
Shot by an off-duty Chicago cop, a man is hurt, his friend killed. And the story he tells tonight puts the officer's actions under serious microscope. Good evening, I'm Mark Sapelsa.
I'm Micah Matera. Our top story seen around the country tonight on WGN America. WGN's Tom Negevin live at Chicago Police Headquarters tonight with more. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Micah. Mark, the Independent Police Review Authority is investigating this. That standard. Meantime, the survivor of this double shooting telling his story for the first time.
And I turned around, I see a figure through the window. And I said, oh, my God. I put my hand like this. That's how I got shot. He tried to, basically, I think he tried to shoot me in my face.
Antonio Cross, nursing a gunshot wound to the hand, his thumb nearly blown off, showing WGN News what he says happened Tuesday night in Lawndale. Police have said an off-duty officer was investigating a disturbance near his home when a man, allegedly Cross, approached with a gun. Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy talked about it on the WGN Evening News.
This shooting appears to be justified. As the facts bear out, we will find out because there's only preliminary investigation at this point.
Boss says he was on the phone, that phone records will back him up, and so will the guy he was talking to.
I was talking to him on the phone when I heard the shots. So, five shots, calling him, no answer.
He was constantly shooting his gun.
And you never had a gun? You
never had a gun whatsoever. They got my phone as evidence.
You were talking on your phone?
I was talking on my phone.
And he said to you, I thought your phone was
I thought your phone was a weapon. I said, I don't think my phone was a weapon. He said, sit down, shut up, don't say nothing. Here's the pole, I said it right here. I said right here on the pole. But that young lady, I look at that young lady, body, motion. She made one move, made no more move.
22-year-old Rekia Boyd was shot in the head. She hung on in critical condition, but was pronounced dead today at Mount Sinai Hospital.
The before picked up my sister. This is that. I want his justice.
Rekia's family gathered at the hospital today in a combination of grief and anger, wanting to know how this happened. Police have said they recovered no weapon from the scene.
How could this be justified? You took my sister away from me.
Antonio Cross is charged with one count of misdemeanor aggravated assault. He says he has no idea why. Meantime, Chicago police say they have reached out to and expressed their condolences to the family of Rekia Boyd. Police headquarters, Tom Negevin, WGN News.
All right, Tom, thank you.
What more is there to say? There was no gun found, but yet this brother is being charged with some misdemeanor, aggravated assault, but there was no weapon found, no gun found. So how is this in any way, shape, fashion, or form, justified with no weapon? And he gets charged with a misdemeanor of aggravated assault, but worse than that, how is this sister now dead from a gunshot to the head? For what? So here we are with another situation, and I'm really curious to see who is going to stand up for the black woman, as I've said in months that have passed. And of course, there have been brothers, don't get me wrong, there have been brothers who have, in fact, stood up and showed their support and showed their love and showed their concern. So, we are truly thankful and appreciative for that. But also, I think it has to be duly noted in terms of what are folks going to do about this situation. We've had a week long of rallies and demonstrations, and there should be. But I believe we are approaching what I call the Ma'atik Epoch, an era that in a time that is about Ma'at, about balance. And so that means if, in fact, we can see all of this concern about our young men, and again, I'm a mother, so of course, well, we're going to show and be concerned about our young men. But if you didn't hear the pain in that man's voice, in that brother's voice about his sister, then you must be really deaf all across the board. The question again has to be, what are we going to do? Now, the Black Women's Defense League has been very and consistent really over the past 15 years, but specifically during the past few years. And last February, we launched a national campaign that would begin to realistically address what we knew were truly diabolical and heinous and other kinds of things happening to our women and girls, and a lot was being said. We've also seen the increase of a lot of quote-unquote anti-violence activities or, you know, different kinds of things, but anti-violence against what? And to what degree did that really link to gender-related violence? The reality, again, is we knew the answers. And we knew that 90, if not more, percent of the anti-violence work or actions or activity that you were seeing were, in fact, funded. And so they had a particular and a specific criteria or specific kind of agenda, which tend to lend more towards gang, gun, and what they call kind of black-on-black crime, violence, or whatever, but really stayed away from what many were calling domestic violence, unless, of course, it was related to a gun, because that's the big buzz thing going on now in the political arenas, you know. That there's a whole, you know, combat going on with different factors or fractions of folk dealing with that issue. It really ain't got nothing to do with whether or not it's really killing our people. It's a whole political thing on who got the most power, the rightful people or people who, you know, want to play this game of anti-violence. But how often are we really hearing or talking about what some of the real problems are? Oh, did anyone say racism yet? Did anyone say sexism yet? Did anyone say ageism yet? That is really some of the culprits of the violence and abuse that we're finding in our community. So the Black Women's Defense League, again, is committed and adamant about exposing and making certain that the truth is really told and that this issue is, in fact, dealt with in the way that it needs to be. And that means by dealing with some of the realities of from whence this stuff comes, that means by developing holistic approaches to dealing with both the past, present, and potential realities of this matter, and to move in any way that indicates more of a self-determined manner, meaning where our primary force and source is not coming from having to deal with these corporate grants and this other kind of nonsense that they, these hoops that they got people jumping through. So we're not going to belabor this issue today. We're going to be talking more about it later on this week. I was hoping Chairman Fred would be available to talk to us further today. He did indicate that he would be calling in, but, you know, a lot of times things be going on, and it happened so quickly, and I suspect this may be one of those times, because he did indicate that he would attempt to contact one of the family members of Rakia to get them on today. It was kind of a short notice because, again, I just found out about this yesterday. And as soon as I did, we attempted to connect so that we could get some direct kind of information. And I'm sure that we will within the next couple of days. But, again, the question has to be, what is next? So I can assure you we're going to be contacting some of the groups that are in Chicago, because this is where this happened. Again, we're getting reports from all over the country with similar types of situations, and usually you hear about it for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and after that it's gone. And that cannot continue to happen. So on May the 12th here in Philadelphia, we're going to kick off this campaign, this national campaign where we will begin to go from city to city, from community to community, to church, to recreation center, to where we have to go to raise the bar, to bring greater attention to what is really going on, to let our women and girls know that we're not going to let their voices be stifled or smothered or pushed to the side any longer, that the perpetrators, that the traitors, that the whomever, the so-called officials, we're going to make sure that everyone is held accountable to the best of our ability. We're going to work with our sisters to help our sisters to grow and become more developed and more comprehensive in terms of who they are as women. But in the interim, make certain, again, that we fight for their rights, We fight for justice, as we do for all of our people, but we got to kind of get a little more specific now with this, because this is an issue in an area of fighting where it has just, you know, been remiss at best. It's just been pushed to the side, and it can no longer happen. So for those sisters who understand what I'm saying, and brothers too, please give us a call. Email us, nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Again, we're not going to stay on long tonight because I'm really very, very upset about what is going on. And I really almost don't know what to say. In fact, there's really not a whole lot to say. It's more about what it is that needs to be done. And again, we're certainly going to do what we feel it is that has to happen at this point in time. We're going to really now work towards that. So let's see. Wow. I think tomorrow we will do another special broadcast, and hopefully at that point we'll have Jim and Fred joining us. And if not, we will still have some kind of report for you, because we're going to stay on top of this story. I'm going to also give you an update on Katrina Wallace. We talked about her a couple of weeks ago. We want to be able to give you an update on that as well. And let's see, I guess that's pretty much where we're at. So we're going to leave out tonight with a little bit of Sweet Honey in the Rock. And again, for those of you who feel motivated to do something, to move, please feel free to give us a call. Area code 267-636-3802. Or you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Support the Black Women's Defense League. Support the Million Movement in any way that you can.
Maybe an anyone's losing, running, hiding, taking cover. The women are the prime. She's a million truth. It doesn't matter the way you're living. The women are the prime. She's a million truth. People say night is a slave of women. Doesn't happen here. I can't find everything. What do we have to fear?
What about the world you
think? Up on every face.
Nobody can help you.
How much more left and on the way?
Thank you.
like to welcome to the studio in this satellite radio.
There has to be justice for the Kia boy. There has to be justice for all of our people who have been murdered and violated. But certainly, sisters, when are we going to really begin to move forward and stand up in the way that we always have, but when it comes to our daughters and our sisters and our mothers, where's the visible stand of solidarity regarding that? The Men Women March showed that.
And now we must take the type of action that is mandated. And for real, if you're not about trying to stand up in the way that is necessary today, you're really not living. So with that said, family, we're going to continue on and hope that you have a blessed day. We have work to do, needless to say, and hopefully this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation has been one to help bring about some kind of additional stimulation. I know many of you are already doing the work that is to be done, but needless to say, we've got to now do even more because it's always been an attack on our men, on our brothers, on our sons, on our husbands. But I dare say now, it is a true attack on our women and girls. And for those who understand that, when you limit to that the production of our women and girls, then we are all in trouble. Until tomorrow, because we will be back tomorrow, probably around the same time, not sure yet, but hopefully I'll be able to talk with Chairman Fried in the morning to get some better insight into how we're going to proceed. We're not going to just sit back and let this go down the way that it appears that they're trying to have it to go down. The police person did, of course, say in the interview that this is a preliminary investigation, even though he already said it seems to be a justified shooting, a justified murder. But did, of course, add on that it's a preliminary investigation or at the stage of a preliminary investigation. Well, we know from experience that it will stay that way unless we stay up on top of it and make sure that this thing is dealt with, and we are certainly going to do that. So, again, at some point tomorrow around this time, we will bring another broadcast to you, and it will have some form of update about this particular murder.
And again, this recap, we're talking about a sister, Rukia Boyd, who was 22 years old, shot in the head by a police officer who it said that he thought someone she was standing next to had a gun, who in fact had a telephone up to his face. So how do you have a gun up to your face? I mean, you're talking on the phone, so he's going to hold a gun up to his face. It makes no sense, but we know how they do, so I'm sure they're going to make it make some sense, or at least try to make it seem like it makes some sense. But again, what are we going to do? And especially sisters, I really hope to hear from you. Our brothers as well, but I really want to hear from our sisters on this. It is so important that our young girls see that when it comes to us as women, as girls, as the mother of civilization, that the same kind of energy, the same kind of synergy, the same kind of concern is exhibited, is demonstrated for us, for our women and girls. So, again, tomorrow we will be back, and we will continue on with providing you with information on this story as well as several others. And we had already planned to bring you a whole week long of broadcasting as we close out Women's History Month. We will wait until tomorrow to give you the information that we wanted to prepare for you for this week, which some of it is very exciting and very positive, very productive. But these are things that, you know, also have to be dealt with. It's not the glitz and the glamour. It's not the, you know, things that we want to hear or talk about, but it is what it is, and we must deal with it. Okay, so again, until tomorrow, family, I thank all of you for tuning in, and please continue to let folks know that we are here and plan to be here. Come April, we will observe our fourth year of broadcasting here at New Day Resurrection and Liberation, and hopefully you will help us to commemorate being consistent for 4 years and weathering all types of storms and so forth. But again, we will be back tomorrow, and we will continue this dialogue as well. So until then, family, we thank you all again, and we will leave you as we oftentimes do in the spirit and in the concept of Ma'at and Hotep. And we always remind you that as we strive for Hotep, we know that in order to do so holistically, in order to do so adequately, we must, of course, embrace and administer Ma'at. For there can be no Hotep without Ma'at. There can be no peace without justice. Until tomorrow, Tutanana.